You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood. Together, for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well for you today. That's right, it is Wednesday, so you got to get over that hump. So I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it's not, and it has to get done, you will get it done, because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And that's why we appreciate you, respect you, and love you. And of course, you always do it safely. I ain't even got to put that in there, right? You're going to have your mask on. You're going to have your distance. You're going to keep your hands clean. You're going to get it done. And that's why we love you. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But of course, if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. In the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. And it is updated. It is pretty updated, thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Appreciate you, man. You know that. And other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays. Once again, this program, of course, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. But on Monday in the evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed, followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawil Kamban and Nataki Kamban. That's followed by from 9 p.m. to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, from 7 to 9, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and Sister Benisiwa Ayan. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, you know what time it is. That's right, brothers and sisters. It's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. From 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday, once again, it's time for an awakening at 7 p.m. Time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We buy black. We buy black, the largest online marketplace for American African owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayemba, who has been taking our people to the motherland, to a trip of a lifetime, over 400 of us. And he's been doing an outstanding job. Brothers and sisters, go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Africa spelt with a C. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to give Brother Bomani a call, give him a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429.
If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. And of course, Jesus, some of the trips that are upcoming, April 2nd through the 12th, Senegal and Gambia. Senegal and Gambia upcoming. And then there's a trip for Ghana, May 24th to the 5th of June. And then Tanzania in November 18th to the 29th. And then a Ghanaian trip going back to Ghana at the end of this year, December 24th to January 5th, 2022. And all of these trips are $3,700. All these trips are $3,700. Thank you. Baba Rinoco Rashidi. Baba Rinoco Rashidi, his trips have been postponed. And he had a beautiful one-on-one with Dr. Bayina Bella of Haiti and the Shiros, her book, The Shiros of Haiti. And, of course, Baba Rinoco is going to be doing classes on Zoom, and I'll keep you posted. Habesha stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. HabeshaIncorporated.org. Go to HabeshaIncorporated.org. Check out what their brothers and sisters are doing. Habesha is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in education, cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. Some of the programs that Habesha has is Habesha Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds and Urban Green Jobs, and of course the Kashi Project, which is ongoing right now on the continent in Ghana. Habesha. The Ledge Group. The Ledge Group. Ledge stands for Land for the Development. Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. Ledge. And of course, they deal in the four areas of people that are vital to human beings, and that is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects going on the continent in 6 countries and 172 people employed and over 260 members. Go to theledgegroup.com and find out how to be a member. And so you too can help. Also too, I mentioned, and I'm trying to get either Brother Peter Brown or Brother Nkosi on, to be, if you are a member of the Ledge Group, you have the opportunity to buy land in Tanzania. Land in Tanzania for $250 an acre. Man, yeah, I know. It's a great opportunity. So I'm going to get him on and so we can talk about that. Yeah. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar located in the West End here in Atlanta on Ralph David Abernathy. Delicious smoothies and all kinds of good health drinks and pastries and so forth. And their number is 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. That's Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Mama Nia, she should be opened her store in the Greenbrier Mall, biggest store on the main walkway there in the Greenbrier Mall. Give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. There's just a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, certificates, and may have other things, T-shirts and so forth, to offer since she has a bigger store. I'm very, very happy for her. I'm very proud. I'm going to take a trip there this weekend. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Brother Gazimde Ajamu is the proprietor. He has a coffee bar now selling delicious Cameroon Boyo coffee and all, and select a number of selections of teas and so forth, and pastries. That's right. That's he also has some of the bean pie. That's right.
the Supreme bean pie out of Chicago. That's right. It's on the label there. I bought it, and I attest it was a Supreme bean pie. Brother Kazim Diajamo, give him a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. There is light in the black dot. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, Family-Centered Economics. The Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. But if you want to call to listen, just to listen, you can do that. Or you can call to make questions, comments, or concerns. And you dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us every Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10, from 9 to 10. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop shop, your one-stop natural shop, located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, and it's booth number 225-255. For more information, you can contact Sister Shelley at 404-434-7963. 404-434-7963. All kinds of scents, and perfumes, and candles, and incense, and jewelry. And support the brothers and sisters. Support my sister, Sun Goddess Scents, in the International 4140 Jonesboro Road in the International Discount Mall. Sanjay-Haiti, Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, who is doing outstanding work in the northeastern part of the island of Haiti. And beautiful work with our young people, with education. When you go online to sanjay-haiti.org, you see the children in uniforms, beautiful children, the agricultural piece, the health component. I mean, just outstanding work. The entrepreneurial proponent when they drive fruit and can and bottle it or whatever. That's great. It's great work. So you go to Sanjay, Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. And of course, occupants. Oh, let me say this too. During the month, the shrine is open on Fridays and Saturdays, a couple more weekends. Friday and Saturday from 1 to 7, 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern, the Shrine of the Black Madonna here in Atlanta in the West End area, which is by the Soul Veg and Dollar's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. They're open on Friday and Saturdays from 1 to 7. Akaban Institute, Baba Baruti and Mama Yabaruti, please support them. Make your check or money order out to Akaban Institute. Send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But, of course, you can use Cash App and PayPal. If you want to use the Cash App, the dollar sign, YAA, the letter M, then Baruti, BARUTI. And you can make monthly donations to the Akaban Institute. If you want some of the books that, of course, Baba Baruti is a prolific writer, go to AkabanHouse.com. AkabanHouse.com. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesim. February 16th, a life is an entity, and throughout all that entity, a black child has breathed the foul air of cruelty. He has grown up to find that his spirit was crushed before he knew there was a need of it. His ambitions, even in their forming, showed him to have set his hand against his own. This is the desolation of black life in America, William Greer. Everywhere our children grow up as easy prey for everyone, yet are brainwashed to pray for everyone. That's deep, for sure. But before birth, there are groomed to be a tribute to Urugu by those who know that the evil they feed is insatiable. They see that Urugu smiles at our children like we smile at our food. We forget this when we spoil our children. Most of us are not preparing them for battle. We are preparing them for burial. Our blatant disregard for the future of our children and therefore African people has us in complete denial of the fact that African parents who spoil their children willfully submit themselves to the rule of angry children socialized to arrogantly create and interpret reality through only Urugu's eyes. A child without discipline is a child without love. And remember, discipline is self-imposed order. When you don't have any order on yourself, society must impose order on you. That's punishment. It's a difference between discipline and punishment. Discipline is what we need. A child without discipline is a child without love. This sacrificial self-hatred must end. We must give them the discipline they need to survive this predatory reality. We have to create and operate truly African-centered educational institutions which prioritize them to their nation-building work. We must prepare our children to fight with the will and the commitment of those who have always entered the battlefield out of love. Each home must become a priesthood, a shrine celled, rigorously dedicated to the production and thoroughly acknowledgeable and deeply committed to Asafa, warriorhood, Asafa, warriorhood. Affirm, I guide small, naive, fragile African hands through the cruelty of Urugu's racist reality. That's deep, ain't it? Affirm, I guide small, naive, fragile African hands through the cruelty of Urugu's racist reality. February 17th. Most of us allow ourselves to be controlled because of fear of losing something or someone. Kwabena Ashanti. The lost among us asked, what war? And we answered, look on the faces of our children. They query has to the evidence that, and we took them down in hollow paths of our warrior shrines. They query has to the evidence, and we took them down the hollow paths of our warrior shrines. They question our complaints against the seemingly internal argument for forgiveness and forgetfulness, and we give them the Ma'afa litany of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. They pointed toward an inward complacency of our own worst enemies being us, committing treason from within, spinning theory after theory, victim blaming us for our condition, and we opened out these theses detailing a dynamic, functional, ever increasingly more sophisticated menticide. They asked, where was our humanity? Why no love for confirmed enemies? And we explained the instructions in a natural karma ma'at necessarily brings to the restore universal order, unpaid blood debts, and the cultural sili, spiritual essence of Urugu's evil genius. In interactive fear, they asked about our military preparedness in the face of a heavily armed evil, and we gave them examples of individuals against armies of Maroons and Quilombos still in force. Unchanged and even more committed to conforming to Urugu's norm for us, they returned only sneers, cutting eyes, moving away, silence, seemingly unable to answer our questions of why would their opinion of us be significant to us when they are not. They aren't. Affirm, my thoughts, words, and actions are not directed or dictated by fear of losing something or someone. Affirm, my thoughts, words, and actions are not directed or dictated by a fear of losing something or someone. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Today, my guest is Mama Nabantu. I'm going to prime Mama Nabantu. She's holding. I'm going to read a couple more things, and then I'm going to get to Mama Nabantu, and we're going to talk about the Pan-African Federalist Movement. But everything I'm going to do right now prepares us and helps us understand why we must have the Pan-African Federalist Movement do what it's going to be designed to do, and that is to develop the African United or African states. This was said by Lord Macaulay's address to the British Parliament on the 2nd of February in 1835. I have traveled across the length and breadth of Africa, and I have not seen one person who is a beggar, who is a thief. Such wealth I have seen in these countries, such high moral values, people of such caliber, that I did not think that we could ever conquer this country unless we break the very backbone of this nation, which is their spiritual and cultural heritage. And therefore, I propose that we replace her old and ancient educational system and her culture. We replace their educational system and their culture. For if the Africans think that all that is foreign and British is good and greater than their own, they will lose their self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them, a truly dominated nation. Yeah, I know. Steep. And we say, we've been saying these things, and many people think that, well, that was so long ago, that doesn't, no, it's now. It's now. When Kwame Nkrumah, in 1957, made the declaration that Ghana is independent from British rule. Some years later, the Speech of Freedom in 1961, he said, I believe strongly and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African race united under one federal government will emerge not just as another world bloc to flaunt its wealth and strength, but as a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on the hope, trust, friendship, and directed to the good of all mankind. Unfortunately, the words were not heeded. Plans did not make it happen on the continent. Later he said, if we do not approach the problems on the continent of Africa with a common front, a united front, and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. I just hate the prophetic reality of that. I really do. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effect that the European has on our ability to think victoriously. A Bibi Fahodiye. To think victoriously, we must be able to separate our thoughts from European thoughts so to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europeans. This is a demand by an African-centered view because why? We are Africans. But also because the future towards which Europeans lead us is genocide. Marimba Ani. Yeah. It is our duty. We must do it. It is our duty.
is a lot of talk of late on the African continent about the fact that Africans are awaking. There is a lot of talk about the fact that we are woke. But the question that I'd like to ask you is, almost 100 years ago, a man called Marcus Garvey rose and told Africans that they must unite. Unite in their control of resources. Unite as nations. Unite their imaginations, their dreams, aspirations, and capabilities to grow in Africa and a race that will be able to self-determine and compete against other races. A man called Kwame Nkrumah came and said the same message. And another by the name of Malcolm X said the same. But the question is, after almost a century since the rise of Marcus Garvey, has Africa achieved unity? Do we control our resources? Do we unite in our aspirations, dreams? And have we elevated Africa into a continent and a race that can compete and self-determine against other races? The truth of the matter is we have failed. We have failed because we have remained divided. We've continued to work as 54 different states that continue to be subjugated. This is why the French continue to have 14 colonies on the African continent. It is why 36 African countries have got American bases and AFRICOM on their soil. It is why many African countries continue to sell their resources, their institutions, for debt to countries like China. And the question that I'm now challenging you, the woke generation, with is, what are we going to do about it? The reason we've got wars on the African continent is because we're being divided for conquest. The reason we've got sanctions on the African continent is that all the independent knowledge and education, the power to take control of our resources, can be destroyed so that Africa can continue to be colonized by our Western colonizers. This is why now we need to rise. Remember that you, the African American, with all your paper money, the greatest wealth among all black nations, only have paper money, but the true wealth is in Africa. The true wealth is the reason why Africa is under sanctions and war, the one that Europeans want to keep for themselves. You need to bring your paper money, your skill, your knowledge, your frustration back to Africa to invest it in the control of real wealth and real resources in the form of the oil, the diamonds, coal, lithium, cassiterite, and all the other resources that the Western worlds are fighting to control in Africa. Your paper money can be leveraged into machines, skills, technology, and the knowledge that Africa needs in order to move and prosper. You, the Caribbean, with your skill, power, determination. You, the Jamaican, the first people to resist European colonialism. You, the Haitian, the very first black peoples to defeat a European army. You are the answer to Africa's problems. You, the European African, with all that you've learned and earned, the basketball player, the soccer player, the sportsman, the singer, the musician, the actor, with all your billions of dollars, are the investment that Africa needs to stop its dependency on the colonizer. It's about time that we rose. And I'm saying that Marcus Garvey's dream can be fulfilled, because when he dreamt it, not a single country, not a single African country was independent. When he dreamt it, not many black billionaires existed, if any. But today we've got black billionaires. Today the richest man in Africa is a black man. We have what it takes and the capacity that it takes to grow our continent into being a continent that can be respected, can self-determine, control its resources, control the processing of those resources, and create currencies based on those resources to be the leading economy in the world. With that, we can industrialize, grow up the technology curve, and begin to create the machinery, the tools to defend the sovereignty of this continent. And now I say it's time that we unite. We have countries like Zimbabwe under U.S. war sanctions to make it unattractive for any African to come because Europeans are preserving it for themselves. But I'm inviting you, my African-American brother, you Africans in the diaspora, you Africans on the continent to say, come and take advantage of the greatest reserves of lithium, chrome, gold, true wealth, land, an opportunity to develop infrastructure for us to create wealth as a people, for yourselves, for the advancement of Africa. The time to awake is now, but awakening takes action, pride, investment, development, innovation to give our people power. This is the time.
The time is now, brothers and sisters. Right now. No more wasting time. We don't really have it. And I know that the plan for the Pan-African Federalist Movement is to bring that into reality by the end of this decade. And we must. By 2030, it must begin to show that's the direction that we're going in. My guest this morning is Sister Mama Nabantu. Mama Nabantu, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Great.
Good.
Wonderful.
Good. Well, we're going to talk about the Pan-African Federalist Movement. We're going to talk about the activity that's coming up this weekend. This weekend.
Right.
And all the other things that you're involved in. You know, I looked over the documents that are sent out. You know, and one of the documents, you know, gives a good overview of, in a preamble, of what the Pan-African Federalist Movement is going to do, to assist African being united. You know, I say on this program all the time, because this program, the bottom line to this program is for us to have independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for us as a people. And when I look at what's happening around the world, the only place that I can understand that we could have those things is on the continent, that we can truly, legitimately say. I mean, I know you probably heard it to be said, oh, we have the world, we own the world, we're the first people on the planet. Well, you know, that's a tall task to make that claim at this time with all the, you know, with, 6 billion people on the planet. But there's one place where there's still, after all the theft, all the plunder, all the thievery, all the things that have been done to the continent of Africa, it is still has more wealth than any other place on the planet. And we, as African people, the brothers and sisters on the continent, and us in the diaspora, must come together to control the resources that we have, the land, the multiple number of resources, and to make the continent serviceable for us as an African people. Develop the infrastructure, the highways, the railroads, the airports, the cities, the towns, the schools, the hospitals, all the things that we need, the ports,
all the things that Africa needs. You know, and so I'm saying is that, I'm saying that that's what we must come together and do. Mama Nabantu, are you there?
I am here.
Okay.
Thanks for
appreciate
you allowing us to speak on the Pan-African Fellows Movement. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm a member of the movement and believe strongly in it. As a Pan-Africanist, I believe that is the time is right now that we, I'm putting emphasis on it, girl, it's right now that we begin to make movement in that direction. You know, stop praying, hoping, wishing that Caucasians will get some kind of a damn epiphany and understand the wrong that they have done and allow us to be a part of their madness. You know, I'm tired of it, you know, and I know it goes on. I know they just had recently a reparations discussion. I believe it was yesterday. I didn't get a chance to listen to it, but I know they had a reparations discussion in, during the day through Congress and then in the evening in, with a panel discussion, which I would love to hear that one more so. But, you know, I think that reparations for us will come when Africa is united. Then we make our claim to Europe and to United States and other countries and to Arabs. You know, all those who have been complicit in the destruction of African people, once we got our act together, we make our claim to them. You know, I understand in the reparation situation, there have been families and brothers and sisters who have been impoverished for generations, decades, hundreds of years. And I understand the need for some kind of, you know, reparations or reconciliation for them. But what's important is not just for these individuals, but for us as a people. Reparations should be, the word reparations means to repair. We need to repair ourselves, not just give us some money. Because if you gave us some money right now with the mindset that we have, that's why about 30-some years ago, a Caucasian named Charles Kottheimer, who was a columnist, wrote an editorialist. I can't remember if it was New York or D.C., whatever. But the article that I read, and I'll never forget it, it said that we gave them affirmative action. We gave them welfare. We gave them this. We gave them that. Let's give them reparations. Because with the mindset they have, it'll be just like a stimulus package. It's just like what's going on right now. But of course, what's going on right now is a lot deeper. But it'll be a stimulus package. Let's say, for the sake of this discussion, give them 40,000 a family, 20,000 as an individual. And of course, with the mindset that we have, we buy a house, we buy a car, we buy some jewelry, we buy some clothes, and now the money's gone. We may, only a few of us, pull money together to buy an institution or to buy some homes, whatever. But the bottom line is that once they have done that, it's over. So now, don't cry about discrimination. Don't cry about the disparate treatment. Don't cry about nothing. You own your own. And if you're discriminated against, so be it. And if you can only, the only remedy you'll get is you can prove it. If you got somebody to corroborate it. And there is no class action. Ain't no group of y'all. That's all going to be over. We have satisfied you as far as we're concerned. And now the real disparate treatment will begin, you know. So, I mean, to me, just like the Japanese,
And look at the indigenous people. They receive reparations to some degree by having those casinos, some other things. And sometimes a lot of them did not benefit from it. On some reservation, they're still very impoverished. So, you know, the real bottom line for us is that we must work towards the independence of Africa, the United, the Federal States of Africa. That's where, that is our home. That is our heartbeat. And Africans on the continent and Africans on the diaspora must break all the stereotypes, all the BS, and close ranks, control those resources, and then begin to live as a free, self-determining people, an independent people. And if you want something from Africa, you will pay fair market value price for it. But as you see, Mama Nabantu, we got to kick out the Chinese. We got to kick out the Arabs. We got to kick out the Europeans. We got to kick out all those who have been destroying African people and African land in order for us to be, once again, to step back on the stage of world history, of human history, as a free and proud and productive people. It is not going to be easy, is it?
No.
And it requires for us to put all our energies in this, making this a reality this decade. Everything we do, that those steps need to be made. And I see that there's a lot of documentation that the Pan-African Federalist Movement has developed in the years of its early existence. You know, one of the things is their preamble that they have in this document, where it says, "We, citizens of Africa and people of African descent living in all parts of the world, considering the inhumanity and damaging consequences of slavery, genocide, colonization, apartheid, imperialism, continued exploitation, racism, discrimination, and undignified treatment of African peoples, the deliberate destabilization of African states, and the plundering of Africa's resources, and recognizing that the wounds inflicted will only be healed once the African people have been able to regain full control of their sovereignty." Sovereignty. A lot of our people don't understand what that really means because we have been in an integration mode for so long. We don't understand what self-determination means. In fact, some of us talk about liberation when it really all we really mean is I'm tired of, you know, suffering the indignities. I want to be an equal partner in this madness. That's what we really mean. A lot of us don't mean that we want true independence. We want true liberation. No, many of us just want a more comfortable existence on this plantation. You know? So, give us some information about what's happening with the Pan-African Federalist Movement, where they are right now, they're beginning, and some of the things. I'm going to read some more of the preamble a little bit later so brothers and sisters can get a clear understanding of where the Pan-African Federalist Movement is coming from.
Okay. The charter is still in progress, so that's not in agreement. We still have opportunities to amend it and make, you know, some changes on it. So it's not so. It says official, but we're still working on finalizing it to the contentment of members of the North American region. So, you know, this Pan-African movement has been going on since 2015 when a group of folks in Senegal launched it in 2015. And it was in 2018 that I got involved when they had the pre-Congress in Ghana during the same time that they had the 60th anniversary of the African People Revolutionary Movement conference, which took place a few days before we got there with our conference. And so that pre-Congress was to talk about, you know, our campaign and how this campaign sets us apart from what's been happening in the past with Brother Nkrumah and Lumumba and all Malcolm and all the others. Mm-hmm. Most of that movement was about coming from the top down. Mm-hmm. And our movement is totally different. That's what sets us apart, because we have never talked about having the people on the ground to mm-hmm. force the leaders to have the sovereignty that we need in order to have a united African state. So it's nine regions, five of which are on the continent and four in the Caribbean, South America area. So when we're talking about uniting the states, we're not just talking about the 54 countries in Africa. We're talking about creating states in the diaspora as well. So it's a progress in action. And just recently, in October, North America had a convention, and the convention has questions that need to be answered in terms of how does this campaign for the United African States need from us, from those of us who live in North America, and what would be our expectations, and what the rights of African people in North America would figure into this Constitution of the United African States. And a lot came out of that convention. We talked about the need to have dual citizenship, to be able to have a passport to travel anywhere we want on the continent, to be able to invest in African-owned businesses. And then we have to establish, you know, common languages, whether it's Swahili, Gullah Geechee, Gala, Shui. We have to come to some agreement on a common language. And we also, you know, we talked about reparations, because reparation goes both sides of the continent, both sides of the Atlantic. And for those of us here who are still, I believe, in captivity, because a lot of us don't even know that we're in captivity right here in North America.
Right now.
And that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even understand what liberation is about. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like you said a little earlier, getting comfortable where they are, have a nice home and a nice car, and be able to go to, all these Super Bowls and all that. They're content with that. But the idea of liberation is not in the minds of our people. And so that's part of the work that we have to do in mobilizing our people from state to state here in the United States and from country to country on the continent to get the people on the ground educated, because many of them don't even know the history. Even, you know, I don't care where we are, our African children don't know the history of the resistance that we have had for thousands of years, actually. And we're still fighting, but some of us don't see the need for resistance. But if we don't do it, you know, the next generation, the generation after that, what home will they have to go to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see that they're gentrifying not only our communities and our neighborhoods. On the continent, they're gentrifying by cities, by whole just huge areas of land. And we do have to watch the folks in China, because they got a plan. They got a plan to bring over 300 million Asians to marry into our children, African children. So those children's children will be the ones to be the next leaders of Africa. That's their plan.
Mm-hmm.
But what's our plan? Mm-hmm. We got a plan to unite Africa as one, so that we can plan on not allowing that to continue and to and dissolve whatever they have put together. Yes, they are building. They are building. They're building schools and highways and what have you. And a lot of our leaders are being bribed in many different ways. But the sad thing is, once they put their little community together, our African people can't even cross into their area, their territory that they have created on our own continent.
Mm-hmm.
So our people really need to work hard and think about the fact that, you know, if they're going to gentrify all of this, and there's plenty of land over there for us as well, why can't we look at repatriation? Not that everybody has to go, but there are some young families that are starting to make that move, and they're waking up. And they say they're the woke generation in terms of taking their children, these young children and parents are taking that move, you know. And there is a sister, I think she's 20 years old, that I've been following. Her name is Tiffany Banner. And that young sister has repatriated to Tanzania and has been able to get herself a home. And she's got a lot of, I think she got over 8,000 subscribers, because she's a young person that's telling the truth about what's going on right there. You know, she's saying that all these Caucasians are coming in and they're building and they're creating and they're living the life that we should be living.
What's the sister's name again?
Her name is Tiffany Banner. I believe she used to live here in Georgia somewhere, because on one of her videos, she talked about being in a community where 70% of the people around her were white.
Mm-hmm.
But during the COVID, she took an opportunity to start reading books by Tony Browder and Akbar and a lot of the Black scholars, and it woke her up to the point where she said she wanted to leave. She did.
Now she's on Facebook? Not on Facebook, YouTube.
She's on YouTube.
YouTube. Okay, I'm going to definitely do that. I'm going to check it out. I mean, there's some other people, Dr. Cambon, the family members are in Africa, bibiatumi.com. I've been promoting Bibi Atumi, A-B-I-B-I, T-U-T-I.com. And in fact, they have beginner Swahili classes. And I suggest that Swahili be the language that, because it's already spoken a lot, particularly in East Africa, that it be the language that we adopt so we can speak to each other just like Chinese speak to each other in Chinese, and Germans speak to each other in Germans and so forth the same way. You know, I think that's vitally important. And we need to, all of these things need to start happening now. You know, I guess because I see it happening and I'm saying, you know, we need to stop this madness and make this a reality for African people. You know, the leadership on the continent is key and vital. But of course, a lot of the leadership on the continent is European trained. And many of the leaders on the continent are European backed, and they do the bidding of those former colonial, you know, dictators, if you want to use that that phrase. But to me, there has to be a development of a righteous group of Africans who share this particular vision and who have the ability and the wherewithal to challenge misleadership, challenge despots, challenge dictators, challenge neocolonialists, kick their ass out, and let us bring in the people that are going to be for the people and to develop. You know, Africa is not poor. We all recognize that. Africa is rich, but Africa is being plundered and looted. And it has been for centuries. And I said earlier, and it's still that way, there is still more wealth in Africa today than anywhere else on the planet. Other places are coming in because they have no resources. China has no resources. A lot of Europeans, I mean, the French stated that if it wasn't for our ability to do what we do in Africa and still be have many countries in Africa that are beholden to us, we'd be a third world nation.
That's right.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna take a break. We come back from the break, we'll talk more about what's happening. You'll give us a rundown on what's going to happen this weekend and other things that are happening with the Pan-African Federalist Movement, and how our listeners can become a part of it, become a member of it. We need membership. We need donations. We need help. to make this transformation a reality within this decade. We only got 9 more years, y'all. So let's get busy. All right. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us. We'll be right back. We're talking with the Pan-African Federalist Movement, the North American director? Or
chair.
Chair. You're the chair. Then you're the director. The North American chair, Mama Nabantu. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
I'll put this out for you, another challenge, number four.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Yes, beautiful music by two beautiful sisters, Jeanette Harris on saxophone and Althea Renee on flute. All I do is for you, and of course, we are one. I think that's a very appropriate song, because what? That's what it is. We are one. One Africa. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, of course, this program, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times going to give our Eastern times. And then, of course, Monday evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed. Followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Moya Kamban and Nataki Kamban. That's followed by from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. And then, of course, on Tuesdays from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. Then on Thursdays from 7 to 9, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and Sister Bonisiwa Ayan. And then on Fridays from 8 until, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then once again on Sunday at 7 p.m., it is Time for an Awakening. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. We're talking with Mama Nabantu and with the Pan-African Federalist Movement. Mama Nabantu?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you well. Yes.
Oh, good. Yeah. I want to make one correction. I'm the chairman of the local coordinating committee.
Oh, okay.
And Brother Walimu Amsada,
right,
out of Florida, is the North America
chapter. Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. He is. Brother Amsada, he's been on the program a few times. And, but, you know, all of it, all we do, and Brother Sangor is our coordinator out of D.C., there's a number of people that they've been on the program, will continue to be on the program, because that's what we're going to promote. But want to know some of the things that are happening within the Pan-African Federalist Movement.
Okay. Well, coming up, you know, the overall goal right now is for to have a Congress where all the people on the ground will be talking with their leaders about giving up their sovereignties in order to become, well, maybe not all of it. I think most of it to become a part of the United African States.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are planning on the Congress in December 2023, from December 8th through December 22nd. So between now and then, we are working hard right now on the ground,
mm-hmm,
to mobilize our people. So this, we had we had our convention in October last year, and then we had our annual international meeting in December, where a lot of people were there from all over the continent and in the Caribbean. So this coming up is a town hall meeting locally sponsored here in Atlanta, but it's open to anyone who would like to come in. And what's going to happen is that we're going to have a panel that would include Brother Amsada, the regional chair, and Zingor, who's a field organizer, and also Brother Sam, a young brother out of D.C., to be on the panel. And then what we're looking for is people to ask questions, any questions they might have about the Pan-African Federalist Movement. The panel is there to answer any questions, because I know a lot of people do have questions, and we're asking people to put their questions in the chat box, and our moderator will be Dr. Uwa Osumiri, who was also the moderator for our convention in October.
She did a fine job, too. She did a fine job. I agree.
Yes,
she
did.
Yes.
She's going to read the questions, and then the panel, any one of the members of that panel will answer any questions that anyone may have about this movement. And so we're going to make sure that we can answer those questions, and also want to generate folks to call out to people they know in the various different states here in the 50 states we have here in North America, because we need to organize local coordinating committees in every state here in America. And what's happening on the continent, they're regional, and instead of local coordinating, they have national coordinating meetings, which means if West Africa is involved, and you got Nigeria, you got Ghana, you got Sierra Leone, Benin, all those different countries will have their own representation. So it's definitely a bottom-up movement, and it's going to require a lot of mobilization, a lot of work. And the campaign that we're working on now is to build up to that Congress in 2023. So in order for 2023 Congress to happen, we have to have almost all the states here in the United States and the countries on the continent to be ready for that Congress. And it's going to take all of us to get those folks together on the ground up level. Now, we know that AU talks about 2063, that, you know, it's written on paper that they want Africa to be unified. But we feel that that's just much too long.
It's too long. That is, yeah.
China already got Zambia. Not Zambia. What is that country? They've taken over not too far from South Africa. I'm drawing a blank on the name of that country.
Well, Zambia had some work done for them that they unfortunately couldn't pay the Chinese for, and the Chinese took their airport. The Chinese are also building security forces on the continent. They are preparing the takeover of the continent. Just as you mentioned earlier, they are planning to place 300 million people on the continent of Africa. You know, and to me, that's why I feel there's going to be a serious depopulation of Africans, not just on the continent, but even throughout the diaspora. You know, the British, Harry, I think it is, he made a comment about the depopulation of Africa a few years ago, that the animals, you know, their habitats are being threatened and so forth, so we must depopulate Africa so the animals can have more range and more space and whatever. You know, that's a damn lie. You know, there's plenty of land, there's plenty of area. All of it needs to be managed. It doesn't need to be Africans being erased. But we have 1.2 or 3 billion people. And then when you put the numbers of us in the diaspora, you know, and one thing that we need to clearly understand about the diaspora, we're not doing well anywhere on the continent. In fact, anywhere we are and Europeans are, they're in position of dominance and control, and we're in a subservient position. It defies all laws of probability, as Dr. Bobby Wright stated. And so what we must do is come together. The Africans on the continent, the Africans in the diaspora, to control. So even though you want to stay here in America because you have firm roots here, you have your job, your career, your business, all those things, but at least you can stay here, but give to the development of Africa, your homeland, just like European Jews. European Jews have no right to Israel. None at all. They don't have any right genetically, culturally, religiously, none. These are the European Jews are Ashkenazi. They're late converts to Judaism, but they now dominate and control Judaism, and they control Israel. And because they have the United States giving millions of dollars each year, and other entities giving millions of dollars each year, they control the diamond industry and other industries and other facets of life. I'm not saying for us to do what the European Jews have done. The only point I'm making about them is that Jews in other parts of the world make sure they give back to maintain that homeland. Africans throughout the diaspora, if ever you can, because I know Africans in other parts of the world are not doing well. And that is because our homeland is not doing well. And if we can give and establish and make it happen, Africans everywhere will be doing well, because now we have a home, and no longer will we take the bullshit that other people have been throwing at us. We have a caller, Mama Nabant. I'm going to take this caller. 646-646. Good afternoon. 646. Okay.
Hey, Oshie, man.
Hey, JJ.
Listen, I got a little bit of good news to report. One of the most racist devils in media has gone to see the Sky Doctor.
Okay.
The Sky Daddy.
Who's gone to see the Sky
Rush
Daddy?
Limbaugh.
Rush Limbaugh died. Oh.
Has passed away and gone on to see his white daddy.
Well, good.
Oh, man. May the world be a better place.
Yeah, well, good
for
riddance.
That no good filthy stinking cracker and to you, be that
and you
dead
see,
no longer.
And you see that Trump gave him the medal, one of the highest awards in this country.
Medal of Freedom.
Gave him the Medal of Freedom.
The Medal of Freedom. That just goes to show you the white man for who and what he is, man. I just would like to say that, you know, you honor your heroes, but you also have to chastise the skeletons that come into your society that cause so much harm. That man caused a lot of harm. That man didn't do nothing to make this world a better place. And you know what's so crazy about it all is? He became a very, very rich man.
A very wealthy
because
man.
Because of his hatred and his ability to promote white supremacy. But I just wanted to say that quick.
All right.
And, you know, put me on mute.
All right, bro.
If I get a chance, I'll come back in.
Thank you. Okay, Jay. Brother Lusk, are you there?
Yes, good afternoon, Brother Oshie. How are you?
I am well, Brother Lusk. I am doing well, man. Thank you once again for
very good. And good afternoon, Mama Nabantu. It's a pleasure hearing you again.
Oh, good afternoon, my brother. Good hearing you as well.
Okay, yeah. I'm not going to be on too long, but I have had an opportunity to go to the website, to the Pan-African Federalist Movement website, to do some viewing and also to educate myself on the projects and programs that you all have been doing. So hopefully it'll be time that I'll be able to shoot a couple of emails to you, establish some connection.
Okay. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Very good. Very good. That's some heck of a news to hear the transitioning of Rush Limbaugh, but yeah, those things happen and the kind of type of richness that he's developed off of that kind of type of ideology is something to hear.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, just being real, he's in a place where it is pervasive, and you can do that.
Yeah.
Rush Limbaugh, nationally, he led way to a lot of people joining in on that mindset of hardcore right-wing racism. And there have been people probably even in your area in Alabama. I know in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, there were like three cats that were Rush Limbaugh ditto heads. You know, Rush Limbaugh clones, who are adamant against affirmative action, adamant against any kind of progress from American Africans. It's just like the stupid thing that ESPN tried to do with putting Rush Limbaugh on their football program. And he, right away, he wasn't even there but two segments, said some stupid stuff, and they had to get rid of him, you know. But, you know, hey, good riddance.
Mama Nabantu, I have a question for you regarding the kind and type of thing that you're looking at locally, say, for instance, within the southeastern portion of the United States. What kind of direction is the movement taking within this general location where we are now?
Well, we have in Florida, we have a state representative, but she's got two roles, but she's also secretary for the North America, but they're trying to find somebody to take that so she can work Florida in the different key cities with large populations of African people in Florida. And we're also looking at not just Metro Atlanta, but, you know, moving down toward Macon and Savannah here in Georgia. And then we're looking for folks in Mississippi, Alabama, and Houston. You know, we're looking for folks. And there have been some contacts, but not enough to organize a local coordinating committee. It only takes about five people to get started as a local coordinating committee. And they would be, they would have a represented on the regional, African regional committees. So that's what we're looking at, and that's part of the reason for the town hall meeting, trying to reach beyond here in Georgia and outside of Georgia, because I know many of us who live here in Florida, you know, we got relatives that live outside, although not all of our relatives are Pan-Africanists. But you don't have to be a Pan-Africanist if you understand the need for Africa to be united.
Very good. Well, between the website and also with Baba Oshi with this program, I'm sure I'll educate myself to know a little bit more. And thank you.
All right, my
brother.
Where
are you located?
Mama Nabantu, I'm in Montgomery, Alabama. So I'm like 3 hours outside of you guys.
Okay.
With an hour time difference,
Yeah, well, I'd like to talk to you some more to see if there are a few people down in Alabama that may be interested. I'm not sure if they're in Montgomery, though, but it's something that we can look into.
Well, very good. I'll just go ahead on and shoot you an email establishing connections in the subject line, and so that'll be me, and maybe we could start the communication process.
Okay, you have my email?
No, but I was going to go through the website, but what is your specific email?
Because I don't think my email is on the website. My email is nkoanga77@gmail.com.
Repeat it.
One more time.
Beginning with letter N, A, N, K, O, A, N, D, A, 77@gmail.com.
Got it. Very good.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Brother Lust. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you, Brother Oshi.
All right. Okay. I'm going to put you back on hold. All right. Yeah. You know, we have so much potential as a people to do what the Pan-African Federalist Movement is about. And understand that the Pan-African Federalist Movement, their whole objective is to put people in place to make it happen. And once that's done, the Pan-African Federalist Movement has done its job. If we get the people on the continent and throughout the diaspora to support the United African States, and we get those governments, and I thought that's why I'm happy that you said in 20, 23 that the gauntlet will be laid down. Because that is the movement right there. I know it's going to all lead up there, but that is the movement right there. Because once that happens, we'll see who is sincere and who is committed and how things will shape out in terms of Africa being truly free. And then have those countries in the head. And to me, I would say that when that meeting happens, you know, I don't know if it's going to be through the organization of the AU, the African Union. To me, they must play a part. The sister with her program must play a part. What's the sister's name? Oh, man. Oh, she's escaping me. But, you know, she was a former ambassador, you know.
Connor.
Yeah.
Quayle.
Yes.
Ambassador. Yeah.
Yeah, she must play a part. I mean, all of us.
Right.
All of us must play a part. I think that what is most important is that whatever organization you have, that's cool. But let's come together on this. This is something for the future of African people. This is for our salvation. This is for our very lives as a people that must be done. We cannot, you know, continue in this manner and have other people disrespect us, take our resources, take our land, take our women, birth children that will be having allegiance to people outside of our continent, outside of the countries that we're from. This movement is vitally important because the European has made its move. The Chinese, the Koreans, the Indians, they're in Africa. And they're doing things in Africa for the benefit of themselves and their people at our expense. So this is very critical, brothers and sisters. It really is. This is very critical. You know, and I know that we have been fighting here in this country, begging and pleading and praying and wishing and hoping and marching, believing that somehow, some way that our suffering that through moral persuasion, that the people who have done this to us will have some empathy and some sympathy and some care. And it hasn't happened. It's not happening, and it ain't gonna happen. And that's what we must get out of our head. That the most important thing for African people at this stage in our history as a people is to be independent, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign. There is no other damn choice if we are to survive. Beyond survival, because we're surviving here, you can survive. But what kind of people are you? Are you dignified? Do you make your own call? Or are you dictated to? So, you know, this is very key and very critical. You know, we talk about a lot of things on this program, but one of the things that are vitally important is the sovereignty of African people and how it can be achieved. Because it can. Because we had it at one time. If we had it then, we can get it again. There was a period of time that everybody came and sat at the feet of African people. And now no one wants to be in our vicinity. And they're doing things to make sure that we will be eliminated. We will be exterminated. Our children still don't know our history, who are in these schools. Some of our children, you ask them right now, why is February Black History Month? They don't have a damn clue. They'll say, oh, that's because they gave us this month. They don't give you anything. Oh, because it's the shortest month. You need to know why that is. They don't give you nothing. And so for us, this is a critical time, a very critical time for African people globally. You know, a couple of years ago when I read an article about how these brothers and sisters were being treated in China, you know, how we were being treated in China, you know. And the bottom line is we don't treat people that way. We don't. But we are treated any degrading, demeaning, dehumanizing way. And they think that that's normal for us. Because it unfortunately has been to some extent the way we've been treated historically. When you look at the history and how we have as a people allowed some of this stuff to happen to us without challenge, without recourse. That's why I love reading the Enye Sesim, where Baba Rudy continues to talk about warriorhood, continues to talk about us coming together, respecting our women, our families, our elders, and honoring our ancestors. We have a lot of challenges. So, Mama Nabantu, so what's happening? What's happening this weekend?
So we have a town hall meeting beginning at 6:45 to 8:30. And if you go on our website, you can get the link. I will give you the Zoom link on Friday.
Okay.
For those folks who are able to register in time.
Okay.
So if they want to come in, they'll have the ID number and the password. I'll give that to you on Friday.
Oh, good. Okay. I'll be broadcasting that. But right now, today and tomorrow, they can go to the... Now, what is the website address?
It's cvpn.org/PAFMNORAM.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to find a way to jot that down so I can give that to the people, because that may or may not have been clear. And we need to be, you know, they need to get that information clearly. And so they can put that information in, register, and come. Now, is this Friday and Saturday?
No, it's just on Saturday.
Just on Saturday.
Beginning at 6:45. Yeah.
Okay, just on Saturday, beginning at 6, is it, you said 6?
6:45 p.m. to 8:30 p.m.
Okay, 6:45 p.m., almost 2 hours. And so, that being the case, I know that we're going to do things in an orderly and efficient manner to get the information to our brothers and sisters who are on the call, and hopefully the brothers and sisters who are on the Zoom will give that information to other like-minded people. This must grow. And the only way that it will grow is that brothers and sisters who understand it and become a part of it, share it with others, promote it. You know, I mean, I look at the future of African people. I look at the future. I look at our children and those unborn. This is something very key and very critical. You know, because see, here in America, America perpetuates and promotes individualism. Individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. That's what America's about. And what we're talking about, of course, is African people, who we have always been as a collective people. You know, there's a saying, individualism is a European, Caucasian, or white desire. I think, for therefore I am. The king of the hill, all that bull, you know. But collectivism is an African must. There's that saying, there's not a saying, but there's that example of the European in the group of children. The European says to the group of children, I want you guys to run a race from this point to that tree down there. And the first one that gets to that tree will get this basket of goodies. And they all ran together. And the white man, European said, no. And the children said, oh, no, Ubuntu. We are together. Now, I know you probably seen that word and you've seen the picture of the young children with their feet forming a circle, all connected. Ubuntu. This is what is a must for African people. Ubuntu. Being collective, sharing, working with and for each other. So let me give some more information from the preamble of the Pan-African Federalist Movement, which is going to take place this upcoming Saturday. Inspired by the noble ideas that have guided generations of Pan-Africanists in their determination to promote unity, solidarity, cohesion, and cooperation between the people of Africa and people of African descent. Resolve to seek justice and reparations from perpetrators and accomplices of the inhumane treatment of African people through the centuries. Note of the unfinished task of African national liberation movements, as well as the various efforts made to improve the conditions of African people and put the African Renaissance on the right track through the unification of African states. Aware of the African Union's 2063 program for this integrated, politically united continent based on the ideas of Pan-Africanism and African Renaissance vision. Considering that removing existing obstacles to the political, social, economic progress of African people requires concerted actions to unite the people of Africa and the African diaspora in order to take control of their political destiny and guarantee development and progress. Determined to form a coalition of non-state actors, organizations, state actors, and individuals who believe in the urgent unification in a federal entity of African people in less than a generation before the end of this decade, by the end of 2030. Resolved to the creation, the conditions for the birth of the United African States in less than a generation. Resolve, remembering the declaration that we've adopted at the Pan-African Federalist Premier Congress in Accra, Ghana in 2018, in which it was decided to create the Pan-African Federalist Movement. So that's the creation. And these are things that they said that they were involved in and they were about at that time. And believe me, it is something that we must embrace, something that we must support. Just like I play that piece periodically, and thank you, Mama Ndabantu, for sending me that. You know, it really says it all. It says all Africans, particularly ones here in the diaspora, and particularly the ones here in the United States, because the most technologically advanced Africans on the planet and some of the most wealthiest Africans on the planet reside here. And if these Africans here in the United States join hands with the Africans on the continent, I'm telling you, and the European knows this. He knows this. That's why he'll do any and everything to prevent it from happening. And I'm saying, don't let us be Judas, traitors. Let us reject whatever the European comes at us with to prevent us from uniting. And I know for some of us, because we bought into the individualism, and all the material things that they're talking about giving you, But to me, when we form this, one of the things that we must do is have security, internal security. And if there's somebody within our ranks who has proven to be a traitor, we must deal with him or her accordingly. We want dedicated men and women committed to making this a reality for our people. And it's not going to be easy. Not at all. So we only got a few more minutes, Mama Nabantu. Anything else you want to bring forth? I went on YouTube and brought up Tiffany Banner. Outstanding. I mean, a lot of good stuff on here. If you go to YouTube, put in Tiffany Banner and her repatriation, how beautiful she looks, how happy she looks, the fact that she is in Tanzania and doing all these great things, but it could have been any other country too, because there's a number of countries that we could go to and still have that kind of feeling. You know, I understand there are some places that the things are kind of tenuous. There's some, you know, problems and issues. But basically, the continent is ours. It is our home. And the brothers and sisters there, many of them are welcoming us back home. They understand that we need, this is that piece I run periodically that Mama Nabantu sent me. It's a 6-minute piece, but it's very impactful because it's saying, come home, bring your money, bring your skills, bring your willingness to work together to make the United States of Africa, the United African States, a reality, and begin to develop that. We need infrastructure. Tremendously, we need infrastructure. Let us build it. So, anything else you got to say, Mama Nabantu, as we begin to close?
You put us out there, and you made those good points. The big picture structure, the whole concept is from the local to the international level that can be shared with local communities to inspire them to join this effort to establish the United African States, bring it into political existence. And it is going to be a major challenge, but there's no challenge that we cannot overcome. That's right. We can do it. But we got to talk to our people, we got to educate our people, and bring this awareness of the Pan-African School, starting on the local level, building from the bottom up. And that's the only way, because it's never been done before. It's usually been done from the
before 2030, and I agree. That's right, before 2030. Thank you, Mama Nabantu. Thank you for always. You know, thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting what we do here on African Perspectives. Our whole objective, of course, here on African Perspective is to educate our people. That's why I don't call this a show. It's not a show. It's a program. And the bottom line is to deprogram us from what has happened to us, to deprogram us from all the evil mindset that has been put into us to make us not want to support one another. We don't understand that there's an entity. That's why even contained in what I read in the Inye Sesem talking about we're our own worst enemy. I hate it. I had to apologize to an elder, but I had to correct him. We're not our own worst enemy. The European has established himself as an enemy to African people. And they have been that from day one. They have been that from the time that they came out of them hills and caves and mountains in Europe. They have been that. And they continue to be that because that's who they are. You need to read Marimba Ani's book, Urugu, an African-centered critique of European cultural thought and behavior, and how this developed over these millennials to this present day, and how we have been victimized and continue to be victimized by the European mindset, and how it makes us think about ourselves and each other. No, I never blame us. I put the blame where it squarely belongs. This is our time now. Brothers and sisters have had the courage to develop a program to unite us. We must buy into this program. We must work within it. If there's something that needs to be changed, bring it to the attention to make sure that it is changed. Everything must happen by the end of this decade. It must. And if 2023 is the time that we lay down the gauntlet and say, hey, African countries, you can still keep your... To me, the borders are superficial because the borders were drawn up by Europeans at the Berlin Conference. Some of the names. In fact, Cameroon. You know what Cameroon means? Shrimp. So some of the names, just like South Africa, is Azania. The names need to be changed. A lot of things need to be changed. We have serious work to do. And the educational process that needs to happen here and on the continent must be directed, created, and implemented by us. By us. You know, they've been trying to talk about how do you teach? How do you teach this madness that we have experienced? That the European has impacted us with. How do you teach it? Well, to me, you teach it as it truly is. You don't sugarcoat it. There ain't nothing nice about what they've done and continue to do. I'm not saying for you to hate anybody. I don't hate anybody, but let me tell you what I do hate. I hate this system that Europeans have created at the benefit for themselves and everybody else, at everybody else's expense. I hate it. I hate it with a passion. And I know there is no reforming it. I know there is no change in it. And I see it on the news and I'd be like, you know, there's more that unites us than divides. Not as far as Europeans are concerned. There ain't no uniting us. We're all in this together. No, we ain't. The economic inequality of this country makes it impossible for us to truly share in this country equitably. Impossible. So, as we close, brothers and sisters, go online to the Pan-African Federalist Movement. Put that information in your search. Look it up. Go online and to YouTube and check out Sister Tiffany Banner. I'm going to do that. When the program ends, I'll give you the information that Mama Nabantu was talking about to be a part of the conversation on Friday evening. Excuse me, Saturday evening, on Saturday evening. We as African people must unite. The time is now. At this very moment, we don't have time to waste. Everything that we do must be done in a sequence to make true African independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty become a reality for African people. Brothers and sisters, we end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. I hope you have a chance to get back with me on Friday. My guest will be Akil Parker. Haven't talked to Brother Akil Parker in a while, educator out of Philadelphia, and we'll chop it up on Friday. Please join us. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bifahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a blessed day.